Ms. Sarah Rodman, and she's with the Department of Health Policy and Management, Johns Hopkins Bloomberg School of Public Health. Welcome.
Thank you.
And
I'm really happy to follow Dr. Fox, actually, because I think that's a really good setup for what I'm going to talk about today, which is the Supplemental Nutrition Assistance Program, formerly known as food stamps, as it relates to individuals with disabilities. I want to acknowledge my co-author and advisor, Lainey Rutko, who's en route to Baltimore and could not be with us today. I don't have any financial relationships to disclose. So for those of you that don't know, SNAP, or the Supplemental Nutrition Assistance Program, is a federal program that provides low-income individuals with extra monetary benefits every month to help them buy food. The program has stated that it has a focus on nutrition and putting healthy food within reach for low-income households, which will be important to keep in mind throughout the presentation. So SNAP serves an enormous amount of residents of the United States, estimated about 47 million people receive SNAP, and a large number of SNAP households include someone with disabilities. So 20% of all SNAP households have a person with a physical disability, non-elderly, and an additional 3 million households have elderly people 60 and older, about 75% of which do receive disability from the U.S. government. It's a huge monetary program. In fiscal year 2011, nearly $72 billion in benefits went out to recipients. So to me, that not only represents a huge benefit to low-income individuals, but also on the other end, it's a very large market for the businesses on the receiving end of SNAP. I don't need to go over this slide. We've seen that there are real disparities in health between people with disabilities and those without in terms of obesity. And I do want to say SNAP has very few limitations on what you can buy. You can't buy, you know, tobacco, postage stamps, alcohol, but pretty much all food you can buy, except that they don't allow recipients to buy prepared foods, which basically includes hot foods or foods that are prepared in the store. So most people cannot use SNAP to buy restaurant food. However, since 1977, the states have been able to make an exception to this rule for people who find it very difficult to prepare foods for themselves, including the disabled community, elderly community, and homeless community. So in recent years, several states have taken advantage of their ability to have this exception to the prepared foods rule, and that includes Arizona, Michigan, California, Rhode Island, and Florida, and I'm going to go over those states. So restaurants in these states can apply to accept SNAP benefits from the appropriate populations. So this is Arizona. Arizona has a statewide exception for disabled, homeless, and elderly individuals in terms of using SNAP to purchase prepared foods. And this is just a simple chart I pulled together to show you the restaurants that currently accept SNAP from these populations. So if you can't see it, it's mainly Domino's, El Pollo Loco, Golden Corral, Pizza Hut, KFC. You get the idea. Michigan is very similar, a statewide exception for homeless, disabled, and elderly. Similarly, the restaurants accepting SNAP are KFC, Church's Chicken, McDonald's, and even if you look at some of the more independent businesses, there's a whole lot of subs, pizza, chicken. I think there's a donut shop somewhere. I do want to point out all the way to the right that there's a Meals on Wheels that accepts SNAP in Michigan. California, it's a county-level decision, so for my purposes today, I just looked at L.A. County. Subway, Jack in the Box, El Pollo Loco again, Domino's. I think everyone can see a pattern happening here. In Rhode Island, it's only Subway sandwiches. It's a pilot program that's been happening for a little over a year. And in Florida is a little bit different because it's only one county and they only have an exception for homeless individuals. But the restaurant list does look similar. It's Domino's, Subway, pizza, you know, et cetera. What caused these states to pass these exceptions? There have been many reports of large restaurant operators lobbying state legislatures, such as Yum Brand Foods, which owns KFC, Pizza Hut, Taco Bell. Familiar names not only because they're ubiquitous chains, but because they've been on all these charts over and over again. And Subway has been a big lobbyer. And I think it's just interesting to note that these are the two largest global restaurant operators in the world. And other states have been lobbied unsuccessfully so far, but this continues. The background on Florida, though, I do want to point out is slightly different. Their program was not the result of lobbying. I spoke to an administrator in the county for the Florida program, and she says the restaurants in their program are entirely the result of them approaching the restaurants, and the way they choose it is based on location, the proximity to homeless tent cities, and price point. And this is important to keep in mind because their restaurants do look pretty similar to the other states. Who supports this? Who doesn't? Restaurants, unsurprisingly, have supported this. They received $21 million from the program just in people paying with SNAP benefits in 2010 alone. The anti-hunger community has been in favor of this. There's a good quote from the Congressional Hunger Center that pretty much sums up their opinions. And the restaurant meals program, which is what this exception is referred to in a lot of states, now has sort of has a website that's exclaiming the benefits of this program. And the partners that support the website are a lot of food banks, anti-hunger organizations, and restaurants. There's been a partnership there. Who's in opposition? Actually, in 2010, the House Agricultural Appropriations Committee expressed disapproval of using these federal dollars to purchase fast food. Similarly, the USDA and its own publication, Amber Waves, has recognized that really allowing these dollars to go towards fast food or even eating outside of the house, it's unlikely that'll contribute to improved nutrition in these populations. And actually, part of this disability is not my area of specialty. I do much more food and agriculture research, but I was excited to present to you all today because I haven't really seen in my research a lot of response one way or the other from advocates of the disabled community, and I'd love to hear from you what you think about this program. To me, it's unsurprising that several people have expressed disapproval. I mean, we could think about the potential weight gain in this population that results from just allowing people to spend hundreds of dollars a month on Domino's and KFC alone, which could lead to increased morbidity and mortality of the disabled population. And I think it's really important to think about, you know, how big a program SNAP is in terms of taxpayer dollars, and if it makes sense to allow those dollars to then be spent in a way that could increase the need for more taxpayer dollars via public insurance, such as Medicare and Medicaid, if it does actually cause weight gain. And I just want to talk about some issues I think these exceptions raise in general. One is corporate interests in large public health programs. There's obviously a partnership here between anti-hunger and you know, Subway, Yum Brands, et cetera. But I think the Florida program raises broader issues in the food system because they have not been lobbied. They chose their restaurants on price point and location, and it looks very similar to the states that have been lobbied. So I think that does reveal broader food system issues in terms of what is accessible and cheap in low-income areas, and it looks very similar to the companies that are lobbying to begin with. So does it make sense to keep this going while we work on the food system more generally, or should we modify these exceptions until there's a change in the food system? I'm not sure. And I think this also raises the fact that there are tensions within the public health food community. Anti-hunger and anti-obesity advocates are at odds on many different issues, and this is one of them. And so today I've just presented you with an overview of these exceptions and some of the issues that they raise, but I think there's potential for future study in this area. One thing I think we could do is if another state passes an exemption, we could sort of look prospectively going forward at changes in weight status and compare it to another state that has not passed this exception using maybe difference in differences approach. I would love to see a pilot program of these exceptions that focuses on healthy food, or at least levels out the playing field a little bit so that people's options are not only Domino's, KFC, et cetera. Thank you. And I'd like to see some qualitative research just on the opinions of the recipients of this exception, so disabled individuals receiving SNAP, and with state legislators on what actually caused them to allow for this exception. Was it an intention towards public health and access, or was it more based on lobbying, although I don't know if we'd get that information. And that's it. These are my poorly formatted references, and I'm happy to take questions.
Do you have a sense of how many people with disabilities or any members are actually using that program?
I think, you mean in those states, in those restaurants? I think it's a very large number. It's a very popular program. Sure. So in general, you cannot purchase foods like that on SNAP. Even if your grocery store does accept that, they have lists of items that they cannot accept those dollars for. And my understanding is that if a grocery store that does have prepared foods did want to accept SNAP benefits, they would have to go through similar avenues that the restaurants do. So get approved at the state level and apply to USDA.